This is John Edwards. You're listening to H10 Hunching Tigers English News.
Listening to H10 Hanshin Tigers English News, where your passion for the first place Hanshin Tigers knows no limits. Today is Wednesday, June the 16th, and this is episode 130. I'm your host, T-Ray, and with me halfway across the Pacific in Honolulu is Sanjay. How you doing, man?
Aloha, brother T-Ray and brother JD, and how's it?
It's going good, my man. It was an incredible week, and so how could things not be going well with the Tigers rolling the way that they are? Yeah. Also, we've got coming at us for the first time in quite a while, JD in Kyoto. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going? I'm back for the first, it's been a month now, I guess. You guys, between Sanjay and Gabe, you guys held it down really well. You know, I was listening. Sanjay and Gabe, you guys really have a lot more baseball knowledge than I do, I think, in general. So I've decided I'm gonna sit back and sort of just be more of the color guy now, like the sort of Dennis Eckersley to your Don Orsillo kind of thing, but with less F-bombs dropped in there, I guess, now and then.
Well, hopefully, you know, we're trying to keep this show accessible to all, so yeah, appreciate that. But you don't have to necessarily fire yourself right now. Anyhow, we are going to keep things rolling here, you guys. We have got a great show for you today. We're in a little bit of a break between the interleague play and the season resuming. We are going to talk about, let's be honest, guys, there's only two rivals left for us in the Central League, two teams that are threatening to possibly pull off a miracle and take us down. So we'll talk about them later on in the show. Strap in and join us for a great ride. It's time for some rumors and news.
Rumors and news. Rumors and news.
First up, we want to talk about the fresh All-Star Game, which is kind of the All-Star Game Junior. We have seven Hanshin Tigers that were named to the Western League team, and they are in no particular order or a particular order. From the 2020 draft, we've got our fifth round pick, Shoki Murakami, pitcher, and Nozomu Takatera, infielder, primarily shortstop, who is our seventh round pick. From the 2019 draft, remember we did pretty much all high schoolers that year. Well, we've got Junya Nishi, the first round pick, Kota Inoue, the second round pick, Masaki Oyokawa, the third round pick. Those are all 19-year-olds now. And then we've got our couple of university graduates, so Ippei Ogawa and Dan Onodera, who was a development pick at the time, is now a two-digit man. They will be in that game. So good for them. I hope they have a great showing, and I hope that they are eventually part of the regular All-Star team. And speaking of which, JD, Sanjay, and everybody else, I'm putting you on the spot. Are you voting for the All-Star game that is coming up next month?
Of course I am. You know it.
Every day, every single day, and I am not, ashamed to admit that my Central League vote is all Hanshin Tigers.
So is mine. Yeah, no, I'm voting every day as well. And if you haven't noticed, at the top of the H10 website, there is a kind of guide to get you through the process to register yourself. You only have to register once, and then after that, it's just like two clicks and you've voted. You can vote daily until June 20th, so do it. Currently, a lot of Tigers are in first place in the voting, and that is thanks to guys like Sanjay. We have got Umeno in first place at catcher. We've actually got in the reliever spot, Iwazaki and Yamasaki of the Bay Stars are really neck and neck right now, so every vote counts. And then Suarez is running away with the closer one. We've got Marte at first base in first place. The other guy, Nakano. Both drafted in the same year. Nakano, though, is in first place at shortstop.
Yay!
He's crushing Sakamoto, you guys. It's so awesome. And then the outfield is all Tigers right now. All three of our outfielders are in the 1, 2, and 3 spots. That means that we are killing Seiya Suzuki and Keita Sano, the other superstar outfielders of the Central League. But generally, you know, we've got a ton of Tigers that are bound to be in that All-Star game. That's good news. It's good fun to watch the game if they're in, and if they're not, then it's really not so much fun.
Well, and it's also a reflection of how the team is playing. I mean, look at it. It's just everybody that's on there has been so great. So yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all to see them all in there.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's totally fine with me, too. All right, let's do a little bit of import talk. And so the first one that we want to talk about is Wei Yin-Chen, who finally made a start on the farm. We were wondering, where the heck is this guy? He started on June the 11th and threw five innings and gave up two runs, one of which was earned. I think both runs scored on sac flies, so not a bad outing for him. I wonder if they're going to give him one more tune-up before they call him back up, because currently we have deactivated Alcantara and Gunkel. Gunkel got called up for a start on the 6th, but he wasn't able to make that start because he got sick. He did pitch on the 13th, which will be the last game that we recap, so we'll talk about his performance there. But he got deactivated right after, and part of the reason is because of this break that we're in right now, that as we reshuffle the rotation, we don't necessarily need him to stay in that spot. The other one is that there is a rumor that he could, that Mel Rojas Jr. could be called up. He who hit home runs in three consecutive games on the farm, I think all of which were at Koshien, if I'm not mistaken. Or two of them were at Koshien, I should say. So there's that possibility as well. The other import that we want to talk about is John Edwards, who did get called up. He also did the little intro at the start of the show. Thank you, John. But he came up on the 8th of June after a couple of good outings on the farm. Actually, I mean, he had a long stint on the farm, but he's back on the top squad now, and he's done all right. He's had mop-up duty in a couple of games, and he's been just fine. So he will probably stay up, especially given the condition of our bullpen. And speaking of which, we've got to talk about our man, as we always do, Shintaro Fujinami. He also got called up on June the 4th to replace Suguru Iwazaki, who you'll see in the recaps at the end there. He just got slapped around in the first week and a half of interleague play, and I think he's just being given a little refresher down on the farm. So Fujinami has been plugged into the bullpen. He is the eighth inning guy. How's he been doing? We'll talk about that in the recaps. Final stop on the rumors and news mill is injuries. And finally, I finally found some info on Haruto Takahashi. Actually, I did also find out in the same breath that the reporters have only limited access to the farm, team, to being down there and covering what's going on there. And that's one of the reasons that they can't really tell us much about the injuries and stuff. But Haruto has been pitching bullpens since June the 8th, which is over a week now that he's been doing that. And I'm guessing that maybe sometime next week, again, this is just my guess, maybe next week he might get some game action on the farm. And who knows? I would guess they're probably not going to push him to get a start before the All-Star break. They probably will give him that time to tune up on the farm. But after the Olympic break, if all goes well, he could be in the rotation. And that extra ace lefty arm in the rotation is nothing but good news for this team as they enter the second half of the season. Other injuries to talk about. Kento Itohara came back from his leg injury, played games on the farm for a couple from June the 5th, and then returned to the top squad on June the 11th against the Eagles. Good for us. Yasuhiro Yamamoto had appendicitis, but he came back and played on the farm over the weekend as well. He seems to be doing better. So that's good. He's there kind of as our backup shortstop, third base, second base, do whatever we need kind of guy. And then the kind of lesser names, or at least one of them would be our fourth round pick from the past year, which was Yuki Sakaeda, catcher. He hurt his collarbone earlier in the year, quite early in the season. Finally played on the farm on the 12th and 13th, got a hit on the 12th, hit a home run on the 13th. So good for him. The bad news is those two games that he was the catcher, our team got absolutely blown away by the SoftBank Hawks. And I don't know if it was his calling the game or if it was the pitchers being awful or the fielders. It was partly the fielders. Trust me, it was the fielders. But anyways, that is our team. The last one, and we'll get to this in the recaps as well, I suppose, is that Keisuke Kobayashi injured his ankle. And I don't know if you guys saw that, but it looked pretty brutal. It was against the Hawks during Interleague. And you knew right away, like, he could not even limp to the dugout from where he got hurt, which is right on the first baseline. So he could be out for a good amount of time. Really unfortunate, and we hope that he'll be better soon. Before we get into the recapping, let's thank some of our patrons. So Richard Geiwitz, whom I got to talk with at the viewing party, thank you so much for your patronage. Tom Zilla from Being Kansai, you'll find Being Kansai on Twitter, Instagram. Follow him if you want to know what's up in Kansai, because for those of you getting your vax, you should be coming to Kansai as soon as possible and enjoying it. And you need to know this guy has got his finger on the pulse of the region, Tom Zilla being Kansai. William Schofield as well. He is going to be on the Koshien Tour as soon as he is able to come out to Japan. We're taking in a game together. You better believe it. And the newest of our patrons, as far as sponsors of the show, would be Doug, who once again says, big, big respect to T-Ray, Sanjay, and JD for making the podcast I'm always looking forward to. And a shout out to my little boy, Teo, who was born this year. Go Tigers! So, if you remember, and you maybe don't, given the way the team has been playing lately, we were on a win-a-game, lose-a-game streak that ended up stretching 16 games long. It started before Interleague and ended partway through this recap stretch. But when we last left you, we had lost a game, and that means that the next game we recap is going to be a win. It was us against the Buffaloes on June the 2nd. We won this one 2-1. Akiyama was bailed out by Hojo with a great defensive play in the top of the first. And then Hojo was the man who got RBI singles in the bottom of the third, bottom of the fifth. He was the only one that solved Hiroya Miyagi, who is the superstar rookie lefty of the Buffaloes. But we tagged him with his first loss. And Baba, Iwazaki, and Suarez were all clean. Akiyama is now 5-2 on the year. Suarez with his 17th save in this one. But the trend followed the next day. The Buffaloes spanked us 7-3. We actually had an early 3-0 lead. The pitcher that they had on the mound against us did not look like he was going to do very much because Oyama hit a 2-run home run and Sato hit a solo home run early in the game. It looked good, but then in the top of the 4th and 5th, Alcantara gave up 3 runs total, so it was a tie game when he left. Iwazaki gave up a home run in the 8th. And then in mop-up duty, Atsuki Yuasa made his debut on the top squad. I think he's like 21 years old. It was not one to remember as he just kind of turned a close game into a blowout loss. Iwazaki with the loss, he's 1-3 on the season, and he is farmed for the time being after this game.
Man, I think you guys mentioned it last time, but that towel that they made, it jinxed him, man. Totally jinxed him.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I really think it's fatigue. I don't know, it could be voodoo in the towel, but I really think it's just fatigue. But anyhow, yeah, really unfortunate that he has not really been performing particularly well. But given that he's now had 2 weeks rest, I'm looking forward to him being back to his old zero, plain old vanilla self on the Heroes podium in the future. So we go 1-2 against the Buffaloes. And again, a loss on Thursday means a win on Friday, right? Right. We got this one actually nice and easy. Hojo and Oyama with RBIs in the bottom of the first. Chikamoto with 2 RBIs in the bottom of the second. And then Sato with an RBI in the bottom of the sixth. Aoyagi gave up just 1 run. It was a Kuriyama home run in the top of the eighth. And then Oyama punched a home run of his own in the bottom of the eighth. Fujinami made his return in this one with a single inning, 1 hit, 1 strikeout, no walks. Tigers win 6-1 and the Othello continues for another day. So this would be game 15 of win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, etc. And of course, we did follow that up with a loss. And what a stinker it was. This was actually an H10 viewing party game, and this was our first loss as a viewing party as we took a 2-0 lead. And the team really, I mean, if this game had been just a 5-inning rain shortened affair, I would have been fine because we were up 2-0 after 5 innings. But it was in the second half that we got absolutely slaughtered. So they scored 3 in the 6th, 2 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, and 1 in the 9th. Errors from Oyama and Nakano made things even worse. This was the game in which Kobayashi twisted his ankle and got DL'd. Kai hit the game-winning home run in the 6th against Ito, our pitcher, who is now 3-3 on the season. Kai added another home run later in the game. 10-2 loss. Embarrassing. And we end our undefeated streak in day games on this day. And then the next day, we end our streak of win-lose, win-lose because we lost. So we end up losing this series against the Hawks. It was an 8-3 loss. Gunkel was supposed to start, but he ended up being sick. And so Junya Nishi got the emergency start. I don't know if it was nerves or if it was just lack of preparation, but he gave up 3 runs in the top of the first. And then after that, lots more runs were given up by lots more pitchers. And the only thing that saved us from a humiliating, embarrassing shutout loss was a two-run home run by Marte in the bottom of the eighth and a solo home run by Sato in the bottom of the ninth. And I got to say, I love the announcers, what they said in this situation. They were like, this is why the Hanshin fans don't go home early. And they were all excited about Sato's home run, which made the game 8-3. You know what I mean? Like, there was no chance of a win, but they still found a way to make it exciting. So good for those announcers. I mean, you know, they've got a job to do. And if they're all depressed as they're calling the game, then they're not doing their jobs. So I respect them for trying to make it exciting. Anyways, as you could guess, Junya got tagged with the loss. And that ends our... You know, we got two streaks that ended on the weekend. Neither of them we were happy to end on the note that they ended on. I'm glad that the win-lose-win-lose ended, because it's time for us to start win-win-win-winning, and that's what we did. Guys, the final week of Interleague, on the road, with a DH. Who'd have thought we were going to go 6-0?
Unreal.
None of us thought that, because getting back to our predictions from last show, myself and Gabe said we'd go 6-5 the rest of the way. Sanjay was more optimistic and said 7-4. No guy, 8-3. Thank you so much, Hanshin Tigers, for showing us that you've got the ability to do two things: hit and pitch. And of course, those are very important when you're playing a game. Okay, so here's how things shook down for us. The first game, we went up against the Fighters' ace, Uasawa. We had Nishi on our mound, and we got a couple of runs, kind of lucky, in the top of the first. One was a bases-loaded error by their first baseman, Nakata. He bobbled a grounder, and then a grounder to second base for the second run. So we're up 2-0. The Fighters get those back in the bottom of the third and sixth. Iwasada was called in to put out the fire in the bottom of the sixth and was unable to, so the game tied. But then in the top of the ninth, thanks Network TV for ending the broadcast, Sands with a leadoff double, and then Haraguchi with the RBI double over the drawn-in outfield for the 3-2 lead. Kosuke Baba gets us the win, and Suarez shuts them down, sets the team record with a 163-kilometer-per-hour fastball. So there you have it. Back to our winning ways, and it continues on Wednesday in a big way. 10-3 win on Wednesday with Akiyama letting the leadoff man on in each of the first three innings, but gave up just the one run. The Tigers scored in the top of the second, again on an error. This was on a Kensuke Kondo error out in right field, threw the ball away. Then we got eight runs in the top of the fourth and fifth total, so that was like four in each of those innings, with Marte, Sato, Sands, and Hojo giving us some big RBI hits. Insurance in the top of the seventh from Sands, and Akiyama sputtered in the bottom of the fifth and sixth, but you know, managed to get out of it. And Edwards made his top squad return in this one with a one inning pitched, one hit, one strikeout inning. As I said, 10-3, Akiyama with the win, and there you have it. He is now 6-2 on the year. First two game win streak in ages for us, but as we already kind of spoiled. It continues. Spoiled in a good way. 4-2 win on Thursday to complete the sweep in Hokkaido. That's something that I think all three of us, Sanjay, predicted in the last show. I think we all said we were going to take all three out of the Fighters, and we did. So, Nakano with an RBI single in the top of the fifth. Chikamoto with a solo home run in the top of the seventh. Alcantara had pitched six shutout innings in the bottom of the seventh. He got hit by a comebacker. Was pulled from the game. Baba gave up a run. It didn't go against Alcantara because Baba actually got a double play, and then he gave up a run after that with two outs. Go, Baba. The Tigers tacked on two, one in the top of the eighth, one in the top of the ninth, and then Suarez gave up his first run in forever, but we had the three-run lead at that point, so it ends up being a 4-2.
Well, it seems like my audio blew a tire, and so we're just going to pick up where I think I got cut off, and that would be with Suarez, who gave up his first run in ages and actually looked a little bit shaky in this one, maybe from a little bit of overworking. Actually, the winning run even came to the plate, but he shut them down with a double play at the end of the game. And so, like we said earlier, we took this series in Hokkaido and we moved just a little further south down the road to, more than a road, but down to Sendai, where we're facing the first place Rakuten Eagles. honestly, like up until this point, I was pretty good at predicting interleague, and I had said we'd take one out of three out of the Eagles, and I honestly thought it was going to be the Friday game and that Saturday, Sunday we were going to get beaten. Not the case, thankfully. So we win 3-2 on Friday. They get the first run of the game against Aoyagi, but it was also partly because of an error. Itohara made his return in this one and made the error in the bottom of the first. So that was the first run of the game. And then they got a second run from a Mogi home run in the bottom of the second. But Sato got on base, and then Itoi got him home on an RBI infield single. And then Marte with a two-run home run in the top of the sixth. Aoyagi went eight innings. And Suarez with the save in this one as well. 3-2 win, just as we expected and predicted. And then the weekend was a bit of a surprise, because Saturday we were up against Tanaka of the Yankees of the 2013 Nippon Ichi Eagles. And it was a tight game until he left. So Oyama had a two-run home run in the top of the fourth. Shimauchi returned the favor halfway anyways with a solo home run in the bottom of the fifth. Sato, though, punched back with a home run. Was it the sixth or seventh inning? It was also against Makun. So we are up 3-1 or something like that. And then all of a sudden in the top of the ninth, the boys said, and actually Chikamoto said in his Hero interview, he said, "I just wanted to give Suarez the day off." Fair enough, he'd been pitching a lot. We got six runs in the top of the ninth, including an Haraguchi bases loaded hit by pitch, a Chikamoto three-run triple, and Kinami with his first home run of the season, a two-run job to end the scoring for us. 9-1 win, and now we've won the series, and now we're guaranteed a winning record in Interleague because we're 10-7 at this point. Why not make it 11-7, good for second place in the Interleague standings with a big 6-5 win, a dramatic win, an unnecessarily dramatic win on Sunday, thanks to the biohazard and its return. We'll get to that in a second here. Marte opens with an RBI single. Gunkel was amazing in this one in innings 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. The top of the fourth, bottom of the fourth, he gave up three straight hits, and then that totaled two runs. So it is now, we're behind, but Chikamoto with a two-run home run in the top of the fifth. Nakano pads that lead with a two-run RBI single in the top of the seventh. And then Baba blew apart in the bottom of the seventh, gave up a couple of runs. It looked like it was going to be way more than that. So still 5-4 Tigers. Fujinami comes in the bottom of the eighth, and he's actually looked good in relief so far, but Daichi Suzuki blasts one into the right field stands. So it's a tie game now. Gunkel's win is no longer, and it's looking like it's going to be the ninth inning. It'll be Yuki Matsui for them versus Robert Suarez for us. 0-0 is what I thought, but no. Chikamoto with an RBI triple in the ninth inning, and so we get a one-run lead, and then Suarez gets another save. This would be his 12th straight mound appearance with a save, setting a club record. I should also add that three of our runs were scored, and I think this is most of our... I think these are all three of our run-scoring innings. Came on a two-out Umeno walk, which was just outstanding. And the last one was the most remarkable because it was an 0-2 count, and he fought 10 pitches, fouled off a bunch, and, you know, obviously looked at four bad ones, got on base, stole second, made it third on an error, and then Chikamoto with the triple. So really exciting win, a great way to end Interleague. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hanshin Tigers record right now is 39-19-2. 20 games above 500. This is the first time the team has seen such excellence since 2008. A year that we won't talk about right now. We'll leave it at that.
I think what's also amazing still is that the number of draws is still at two. You know, it's like all the other teams are up in like 10, you know, 9, 10, something like that. This team is not, I mean, like I've said before, they're not getting draws. They're finishing the games and they're usually winning them, which is just great to see, especially since, I mean, you've only got 9 innings to do it now and they're getting it done.
Well, yeah, and I mean, with Suarez being our ninth inning pitcher and knowing that there aren't going to be extras, we're putting him in those tight situations. And yeah, as long as we've got a lead, he's keeping it. And, you know, that results in no come from behind ties, right? Where we're like, oh no, we had the lead, but we blew it. Like, it just isn't happening this year.
Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Hanshin Tigers English News. Topics.
And so with our record being what it is, and with us being, get this, 7 games up on the Giants, but get this too, just 7 games up on the Yakult Swallows. It's time to talk about the rest of the Central League. And honestly, like, I don't want to talk about the Dragons, the Carp, and the Bay Stars, because they're just like garbage fires. They are dumpster fires. We don't really need to talk about them and any threat they might be to the Hanshin Tigers at this point. I do want to talk about these two teams that we do need to put behind us for good. And with, for the Tigers, there being 83 games still on tap. I mean, this is far from a done deal. But I do want to kind of talk about what it is about these two teams that have made them successful this far. Or I guess for the Giants, maybe not as successful as we might have thought thus far. And what we need to be on the lookout for when we face them the rest of the way. And so Sanjay is going to tell us a little bit about just like what the Swallows have done so far this year. And then JD is going to take over and tell us a little bit more about what we need to look out for in that team.
All right. Thank you. Here we go then. Just to set the stage a little bit, as you guys mentioned, the Yakult Swallows are currently tied for second place in the Central League standings with the Giants at a record of 30 wins, 24 losses, and 7 ties. Their points that they scored, the runs that they scored, are 263, which is second in the league. The runs they've behind.
Behind who?
Hanshin Tigers. Funny how that works since we're on the top of the league. The runs given up, though, 245, puts them at fifth in the league, which kind of like balances out the goodness of how many they've scored. Their home run total is at 63 right now, which puts them right in third. And their batting average is a 251 average, which actually is a strange position. They're in fifth in the league, but that's because there's a three-way tie for first at 254 for Hanshin, Giants, and believe it or not, the Bay Stars. So three ticks below, and they're in fifth place. But they're all pretty much, you know, six of one, half a dozen of the other. Their ERA, though, is at 3.81, which puts them at fourth in the league. And so that kind of explains why they're second, but they're sort of like third-ish second. Who do they beat up on? They're 8-3 against the DeNA. You know, everybody is beating up on DeNA. So, but they've also done well against the Dragons. They're 5-1 against the Dragons and 4-1 against the Carp. They're not doing so hot against the Giants. They're only 2-4. And against our very own Hanshin Tigers, obviously, they are only 1-7. Woohoo! In interleague, with a tie in there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. In interleague play, though, they are number 5 at 10-8, which actually, you know, makes them one of the rare teams above 500. There you have it. And we'll switch it over to Rada JD.
Okay, yeah, thanks for that. So yeah, the Swallows. What to say about the Swallows? They're not as good, I think, as the stats might show in some of the areas, but I'll get into that a little bit more. I just want to say, as a sort of a disclaimer here, I don't follow them that carefully, so I might not be totally up to date on a lot of the comings and goings in terms of players getting called up, players getting sent down, and I don't really know much about the prospects or anything on the farm, so take what I say with a grain of salt. And I will say, you know, the Swallows podcast, they're supporters of this podcast as well. You'll get a lot more information over there too as well. So definitely check them out too if you want probably the most up-to-date info. But I'm going to do my best here. So just bear with me here. So as Sanjay mentioned, the Swallows so far against us have won once, lost 7, and fought to 1 draw. That includes the 3-game series sweep that they suffered against us at Jingu to open the season, March 26th to 28th. The Tigers also swept them at Koshien in a rain-shortened series from April 16th to 18th. The Tigers won 2 of those games, and the middle game was a rainout. There was another quick series at Jingu on May 4th to 5th, which the Swallows lost 1 to us, and that was also where the tie came. And the Swallows got their first win against the Tigers on May 18th, so almost 2 months after the season started. Lost the Tigers again on the 19th, and there was a rainout on the 20th. So that brings us to where they are right now. So Yeah, they have not done well against us so far, to say the least. They have been absolutely terrible. So who have they sent up against us in terms of the lineup? Again, this has actually shifted around quite a bit. There's only a couple of guys who have really been solid in two of the spots here. So take that, again, what I tell you about the lineup with a grain of salt here. There's going to be some guys who have been in there who maybe aren't in this list as well. So their usual number one hitter is either Kotaro Yamazaki or Yasutaka Shiomi. Those are the two guys who usually start off for them. Second would be Yuhei Nakamura, as well as Norichika Aoki. Again, Aoki has shifted around. He's been in number six spot as well, but he has also taken the number two spot quite a bit this season. Number three and four, those are the two spots that are pretty well solid, and anybody who follows the CL or Japanese baseball in general, I guess, will know who these guys are. Number three is none other than Tetsuro Yamada, who is, you know, sort of the perennial 30-plus home run guy. Tailed off a little bit last year, but he's still got 17 home runs so far this season, so he's on pace for above 30. And then number four, recent rookie of the year, Munetaka Murakami. Y'all know who this guy is. He's the big dude, plays third base. Is he first now, actually? I can't remember which at this point.
Both.
So big guy, 20 home runs so far. He can tear the cover off the ball. I don't really need to say much about this guy because y'all know who he is. So then things have really switched up quite a bit from the number five spot on. Five and six right now seems to be sort of a toss-up between the two foreign batters that they have, Jose Osuna and Domingo Santana. These guys have gotten more playing time recently, so they don't have as many plate appearances as the Yamadas and Murakamis of the team. But there is some home run power in there. I expect to see more from them moving into the latter half of the season. And then rounding it out in number seven and eight spots are Naomichi Nishiura or Hiyu Motoyama. Again, two guys who don't really stand out to me too much, so I can't really say much about them at this point. Then, of course, number nine spot is the pitcher, usually the starter. And that brings me to what we have in the rotation, which is not that great, unfortunately. Especially when it comes to facing. Well, fortunately for us, because when it comes to facing the Tigers, we really beat up on these guys. So they're basically, they've got their number one and number two are Yasuhiro Ogawa and Kazuto Taguchi. Y'all remember Taguchi, of course. I came over from the Giants. These guys are both on the season right around, low 3 ERA. So these are basically the two most effective pitchers that they have, at least in terms of how many appearances they have as well. Beyond that, they had Albert Suarez was their sort of foreign starter pitcher talent kind of guy, who really didn't do very well, and he hasn't pitched on the top squad since May 30th, so I don't really know what his status is at this point. Beyond that, Yasunobu Okugawa is another guy they have who has been fairly bad. I believe his ERA is somewhere in the fives at this point. Next, they have Yuto Kanekubo, and maybe somebody can jump in because I don't know a lot about this guy. I know he's a recent draft pick, I think he made a couple starts last season, but he has made a few so far and was very effective, but he's actually back on the farm as of June 2nd for quote-unquote adjustments, the Chosei thing. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but he has been very good, so I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen with him in the future. He might be sort of a bright spot for the Swallows moving forward. Beyond that, Hirotoshi Takanashi, Sai Sneed, and then the veteran Masanori Ishikawa, y'all know Ishikawa, he's been around for a long time, same age as me, actually. He's been back up from the start of June and has been effective since then, actually. But, he's sort of your typical, slightly above 4.0 ERA kind of guy. So it's hard to say how exactly effective he's going to be in the future. But the rotation is not that great, ultimately speaking. It's really just those two guys at the top who have been the sort of pillars of the rotation. And beyond that, it's been shaky, to say the least.
There's a couple of guys, though, to be on the lookout for, and that would include Rick Vandenhurk, who has come back recently and has been pretty awful, but, I mean, he does have that track record, so that's one guy to look out for. And then the other one would be a lefty that has kind of hurt us in years past, and that would be Keiji Takahashi, who has only one start in the year so far, and it was a good one, but I'm not sure how much they're going to be able to use him, just given his health.
Yeah. No, thanks for that. Yeah, no, I was looking at Vandenberg too, but so far his ERA is like 15 something. So I sort of wonder.
Yeah.
It's hard to say what they're going to get out of him in the future, and I'm not as concerned right now. But yeah, it could be there's a couple of potential wild cards in there, so we'll sort of see what happens moving forward.
Right.
Yeah. So to go through the good on this team, I'm going to go through the good, the bad, and then give you sort of my overall take on it. The good, obviously, Murakami and Yamada are their star players. Murakami right now in the season is batting .284 with 20 home runs, 45 RBIs. Clearly their MVP. He's on pace for 40 plus, you know. What can you say about the guy, you know? I mean, until Sato came along, I was like, there's got to be a way we can get this guy, but obviously that's not going to happen, and I'm totally happy with Sato now instead. Yamada, again, you know, like I said, he's tailed off a little bit last season, but he's on pace for 30 plus home runs. He's there a perennial star, you know, and he's a guy that can really crush the ball. So those guys really, in terms of their lineup, those are the two really shining stars there. I think Sanjay mentioned some of this stuff. They are second in runs scored and third in home runs, so there is some pop there. Again, like I said, Ogawa is sort of their ace right now, 6-1 with a 3.33 ERA. So he is the main pillar in their rotation at this point. And they also have a couple of good relievers in the bullpen. I don't know too many stats, but right around 2.0 ERA, you have Noboru Shimizu, Scott McGuff, and there's a couple other guys in there too, I think. So, there are spots in there to be happy about, I guess, if you are a Swallows fan. Okay, but that's about all there is to say about the good of the team in general. Bad, they're just not good generally. I don't know if that's an okay thing to say, but they're just not a very decisively good team. Outside of Yamada and Murakami, there's very little power so far. And like I said, aside from the standouts in the rotation of Ogawa and Taguchi, there's no serious rotation guys. They're just shy of fifth place for the ERA by like 0.02%. As Sanjay said, fifth place for runs allowed. And I mean, generally speaking, I feel like, yes, they are tied for second place, but their current standing, I think, is way more about how bad the B-class teams are as opposed to how good they are. Because, I mean, you look who they beat up on so far. I mean, Chunichi is just like, I mean, they don't score any runs. So if you put up any runs against them, you're in good shape. Hiroshima is tanking, and DeNA is DeNA this season. So there's not a lot of good to say about them. So, I mean, in terms of against the Tigers, my overall prognosis here is that they have very few starters, first of all, that the Tigers can't handle. As good as Ogawa and Taguchi have been in general, Ogawa has a 10-plus ERA against us so far, and Taguchi is at 4.91, and there's nobody else really who's this season anyway, can really pick up the baton from them. So we can hit these guys. Murakami and Yamada are the only real power threats, like I mentioned, but against us, they have not been very good at all. They're both batting right around 200 with not that many. I think they've got two home runs each against us. So our pitchers have held them to very little offense at all. The only real blemishes we've had against them are Nishi so far, Yuki Nishi and his starts. Two starts, I think he's got something like a 6.5 ERA against them in those two starts. And those both came in May. But I don't know about you guys, but I feel like those might sort of be an anomaly because he has been very effective before and since. And he just really didn't look like he was his normal sharp self in those. So I don't think it's a matter of the Swallows being able to crush him. I think it's more that he was just having a bad month. And I expect him to sort of recover and be effective against them moving forward. So that's really the main blemish against the Swallows. Again, I mean, when you're 7-1 against the team, that's pretty much what you can expect. The other starters are doing fairly well in general. Gunkel, in particular, has been fantastic. Aoyagi, too. I think his ERA is down around 3. So many of the runs I think that have scored against us have come against the bullpen. I'm not absolutely positive about that, but I seem to remember that. In terms of our hitters, Chikamoto, Marte, Oyama, and Sands all hit Yakult really well. They're all above 300 batting average this season, and a couple of them are well above that. So we can hit these guys. With 13 games left on the season, I feel like we have a really good chance, I mean, at least based on what we've done so far, to take quite a few of those. I'm going to say we drop a couple here and there, but I wouldn't be surprised if we take at least 8 of those, you know, maybe allowing for a rain out here. Well, I shouldn't say that because we're going to be making up the rain outs, but, you know, allowing for a tie here and there. I'm fairly confident that we can continue to beat up on this team really well. And just to, as a sort of conclusion, you know, at the beginning of the season, our first podcast, I think in my predictions, I said something about how the Swallows do have some power, but their pitching just can't stop the bleeding well enough against sort of offensive heavy teams. And I think that's going to be the story for us moving forward, because our guys can hit now, which is crazy to say that because I haven't been able to say that for a long time, but our guys can hit. And if you are going to be giving up a lot of runs in every game in general, then you're going to be giving up a lot of runs to our guys. So I think that it looks good for us moving forward and does not look good for the Swallows moving forward. So that's generally how I see it. And if you guys want to add anything in there, go for it.
So I'm going to say that we got to pay attention to other secondary players, guys like Yasutaka Shiomi, who has actually been quite good against the Tigers so far. His OPS through 7 games is 1.124 against us, which is better than it is against any other Central League team. And I don't know, that might just be coincidence because, you know, I mean, it is a pretty small sample size, and he does have 2 triples in there, which kind of beef that up. But he is also a guy that has good speed on the base paths, and he has done a decent job overall on the season. He's kind of having a breakout season, if you will. The 2 import hitters of theirs as well, they have only, I think, played a couple of games against us, but they've also done fairly well. So even though we've beaten up on them quite good, they are still maybe a different team than the one that we were able to beat so badly early in the season. Osuna has been pretty awful against us. Santana has been pretty good. So that I would say would be the key there. And then as far as the pitchers go, I kind of feel like, you know, believe it or not, it might even be old man Ishikawa that we need to worry about, because he tends to do fairly well against us despite his lack of speed and despite his age. But we also, I think, have found ways to avoid getting losses against him. Nevertheless, I feel like if any pitcher is someone we need to worry about, it's him. And in the bullpen, it would have to be McGuff, who seems to have our number. Last year, the only CL team he was good against was the Tigers. And this year, it's only the 1 game that he pitched in, but he did not allow a single run nor a hit in that game. So I would say those are the key guys that we need to kind of focus in on, besides, of course, the obvious Murakami Yamada. What do you think, Sanjay?
Well, actually, I like our chances against the Swallows. Come on. I know you guys are trying to be really politically correct and all that, but I'm smiling over here.
All right, then, let's move on to the Giants. And so, Sanjay, can you warm us up a little bit with how they are doing as a team so far?
Will do. The Yomiuri Giants, also ranked 2nd in the Central League right now with a record of 30-24-10. They have 3 more ties than do the Yakult Swallows. Runs scored, 262, which puts them at 3rd place. And runs against at 234, which is a close 3rd place. They are actually, not surprisingly, because of where they play as a home field, have 79 home runs, which is tops in the league. And they have 41 stolen bases on the year, which puts them at 2nd in the league. As I mentioned earlier, their batting average of 254 is that 3-way tie with the Tigers and the Bay Stars. And their ERA is at 3.49, which is good for 3rd in the league. Who do they beat up on? As with the Swallows and us, DeNA Bay Stars, we're 5-0. Giants are 5-0 against them. The Giants are 4-2 against the Yakult Swallows, as mentioned earlier. They are actually, surprisingly, only 5-4 against the Dragons and 5-5 against the Carp. And they are 1 game below at 4-5 against our Hanshin Tigers. So we like that stat, and, you know, may that even go more lopsided. In interleague play, they came in 9th place out of the 12 teams with a 7-8 record with 3 ties. So I believe that was like the first time in a while that they are that low within the interleague standing, if I'm not mistaken. And with that, I hand it over to Bada T-Ray.
All right. So as Sanjay said, the Tigers are 5-4 against the Giants. We have played 6 games in their park and 3 in ours so far. And what we've got remaining on tap is this weekend we are playing at Koshien against them. And then just before the All-Star break, again, we will be at Koshien for a 3-game series from July 9th to 11th. You know what? It's kind of weird that we continue to play at Koshien against them. We don't go back to Tokyo Dome for ages. So after the Olympic break, September 3rd to 5th, we're back at Koshien. And then one more on the 19th of September. And then finally, at the end of the season, we get 6 games against them at Tokyo Dome. September 24th to 26th, and then hopefully a series that is going to be meaningless by that point. October 12th to 14th at Tokyo Dome. So that is what the remaining schedule against them looks like. As for their starting lineup, batting first, this is recent and slash typical. Batting first, they've got Matsubara or Kajitani. Kajitani has been out since May the 23rd. They've got Wheeler batting second and playing left field, batting doing quite well. They've got Sakamoto batting third and playing shortstop. He was out for a good amount of time, but he is back. They've got Kazuma Okamoto as their number 4 hitter, always. Maru has just been called back up to the top squad, but he took a couple of weeks down on the farm. He typically bats fifth and plays center. And they've got Justin Smoke playing first base, batting sixth, and then batting seventh. They would have Yoshikawa, but he's been out since June 10th. They would have Akihiro Wakabayashi, but he, I think, has also been deactivated, so I'm not sure who they're going to have at second base. I think they've got a young guy named Yuasa there now. And then batting eighth, they platoon Takumi Oshiro and someone, Sumitani Ginjiro maybe, I'm not sure, at catcher. So Oshiro is their main catcher there. And then, of course, ninth would be their pitcher. So their lineup actually is quite formidable. And the combination of injuries and COVID and slumpy Maru have caused them to not be as fully potent as they could be, I would say. So even though we have beaten them 5 out of 9, we've played them without Sakamoto a couple times, without Maru, I think, once or twice, without Smoke for at least 3 games, even without Wheeler, I think, for 3 games as well. So, I mean, we definitely have kind of lucked out in that sense. We also have not yet faced CC Mercedes, Shosei Togo, and Tomoyuki Sugano, who are the front of the rotation, whom we are expected to face this weekend. So those will all be the first matchup of the season against those guys. They also have Angel Sanchez, Yuki Takahashi, and then either Imamura or Hatake as their 6th starter. So when I hear those names, to me they sound like a pretty good rotation, but they're actually not that great. And especially, like, we've done quite well against Sanchez. We did all right against Imamura. I think we did okay against Hatake. Takahashi we have not been so good against. And then, as I said, the 3 other guys that we typically don't do well against in seasons past would be Mercedes, Togo, and Sugano. We'll see how we do against them as well. So how have they been on paper and on the whole? Wheeler has been having an outstanding season at the bat, and even somehow in the field he's okay. And Kazuma Okamoto, despite his slow start, has been on fire lately. He is tops in the CL in RBIs and I think second in home runs, so he is always someone to look out for. The bad would be Yoshihiro Maru. The only thing I'm worried about is that he did get called up and Hara and him had a talk and said, hey buddy, let's make sure this doesn't happen again. That really sucked, didn't it? Yeah, it sucked. Okay, well, let's make sure that you stay up on the top squad. Okay. So, I mean, Maru might come in, you know, with that motivation of like, okay, I don't want to get sent back down again. And so I hope that he does take a while to warm up and that, you know what I mean, like this recent call-up isn't going to light a fire under him right away. I hope it's a slow-burning one and he can, you know, be on fire during the Olympic break or something. And then Justin Smoke has been okay, but I read a cool article saying that they're worried about his lousy defense, his lack of awareness on running the base paths, and he has also had a tendency to slump, and so I kind of feel like we've got a chance to kind of lock down the bottom part of their batting order if we can kind of focus on Smoke and get him out frequently as well. And then Sugano is having kind of an off year, and in his most recent start, which was a return from an injury, he didn't even last 3 innings. That was an interleague play, but this will be his first start since then. So either he'll be super motivated to shut us out, or he's going to continue sucking, hopefully the latter. Who are these guys that we need to contain and focus on and make sure that we lock down? It's kind of stating the obvious. I mean, this is the Giants, but Sakamoto and Okamoto, they're number 3 and 4 hitters. So Sakamoto, in six games against us so far is slashing 350, 480, 650 with two home runs. And then Okamoto, he's slashing 303, 333, 636 with three home runs in nine games. However, the good news is both of them have been pretty bad at Koshien, and the next 10 games that we face that play them are all at Koshien. So hopefully we can really continue to lock them down as well. Who do we need to do better against as hitters? I've put it down to Yuki Takahashi, but then also the combination out of their bullpen. And Hara has just been like mercilessly bullying us late in games. Guys like Kaguya, Nakagawa, Takanashi, and Oe combined have thrown 14 2/3 innings against us without giving up a single run. So, I mean, that is pretty significant when you think about nine games, like a game and a half of that have been full blanks at the end of games through those guys. So those, I think, are the keys to victory. Now, in the remaining, 16 games against them, I'm okay with us going 8-8 or breaking even the rest of the way. If you think about it, it's a seven-game lead right now against them. And if after playing, you know, let's just say in an imaginary world, we play the next 16 against them straight. And if we go 8-8, that means that 16 games further down the road, we're still 7 up against them, and they have to make up 7 games of ground against us while not being able to do it directly against us. That's pretty good. But of course, I would love for us to go 9-7 or at least like pick up an extra game or two in the standings against them directly. That would be the ideal. What are your guys' thoughts on facing the Giants moving forward?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, the only thing I worry about is that the other teams in the CL are not going to offer much resistance, so it might be a little bit easier for the Giants to make up some of that ground than it might otherwise be, because I think they can just completely hammer the other teams. But yeah, I like your keys. I mean, again, like you said, I think it's going to come down to sort of how we can handle those three sort of big rotation guys. If we can even do somewhat decent against them, I think we can hang on to the lead long enough to really keep it. I don't really can't really think of anything to argue with what you said there. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that math. I like that math about sort of, you know, going 8-8 against them, and then we can take care of business against the other teams, and we'll be where we want to be. I also like the fact, I didn't quite realize, as you pointed out, that we're playing a Koshien for the first bunch of games, and that obviously works in our favor. So I'm good with both of those facts. And I don't know at what point you want to bring up the next three games, but I'm seeing over here that Yano has said we're likely to go with Nishiyuki and then Ito Masashi and then Akiyama for the next three games. So I like the sounds of that too.
Right, yeah, that should be good. I mean, as we know, the two import starters have been deactivated, and so I was kind of running, and I knew we were starting with Nishi, and I also read that we are going to be starting every week, at least for the time being, with Aoyagi, which means you can count on rain every Tuesday from now until October. but yeah, that's the call that they've made. Now, back to the kind of scheduling, like I had said that those final three games against the Giants will hopefully be irrelevant as far as the standings and as far as the pennant race goes, and I mean, indeed, that's got to be the case, you guys. Like, if we allow them back into this race between now and then, we're talking like after, oh, pardon me, those are the last three scheduled games of the season that we have. I mean, there might be some rainout makeups after that, but if they are within three games of us at that point in the season, and we're playing at Tokyo Dome, and they have a chance to clinch the pennant at home against us, I mean, that's just like Ulcer City for Hanshin fans, and for me, like, I am not going to enjoy watching those games unless we beat them and clinch. Like, if they clinch against us at Tokyo Dome to end the season, I'm going to be crushed.
No, but if we clinched against them at Tokyo Dome and just rub it in their face at home, oh, that would be just even, oh, it'd be so sweet. I don't know. I'll take my chances with the ability to do that.
Why don't we do this then? Why don't we clinch against them at Tokyo Dome in that September series? I mean, that would be much easier on the heart, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say that October scenario is so bad for my health, so don't make that happen.
Yeah. All right. Okay, guys, let's jump into some predictions, speaking about facing the Giants.
What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be? What's going to happen? What's the record going to be?
See the future? Yes, they can. Check H10 predictions. See the future? Yes, they can. Check it out. H10 predictions.
What's going to happen with the record going to be?
So, as we just finished talking about, and as Sanjay kind of highlighted a bit as well, we are facing the Giants at Koshien this weekend, and it will be Nishi versus Mercedes, I believe, and then it's going to be Ito against Togo, and then it is going to be Akiyama against Sugano, if they decide on that order. Now, Sugano pitched on Sunday of last week, so I'm assuming he'll be their Sunday guy, but we'll see. Anyhow, it would be nice to definitely go 2-1 against them in that one. That would extend our lead against them to 8 games by the end of the weekend. Obviously, the sweep is the nightmare scenario where the 7-game lead is down to 4 and all of a sudden it's not a festive atmosphere anymore for us. After that, we've got the Dragons in, oh man, Vandaline Dome, where we hate to play. And then we've got a couple of home series against the Bay Stars and the Swallows. So we'll be coming back at you midway through that Swallows series. But in the 11 scheduled games between now and the next pod, what do you guys think overall the record is going to look like? We'll start with JD.
Let me think. 11. I'll say we'll go.
He's crystal balling now, guys. He's rubbing the ball.
Oh, this is tough, yeah. 6-4-1.
6-4-1, okay. And Sanjay.
I'm looking at this. It's 7-4. You can bank on it.
Okay. I'm saying there are going to be a couple of rainouts in there, so the 11 is going to be down to 9, and I think that we will go 5-3-1. I think there is going to be a tie in there as well. So there you have it, everybody. The Hanshin Tigers, 20 games above 500 in 60 games. That is a pretty impressive thing. I hope you are enjoying watching the Hanshin Tigers as much as we three are. Well, thanks for tuning in to H10 today. And if you haven't got your fill of Tigers news, we're going to the post show right after this. So come and follow us along to YouTube. You can also check us out on Patreon for some exciting benefits, or go to the website. Go to Twitter and follow T-Ray at the Hanshin Tiger, Instagram at the Hanshin Tigers, or I don't know, it's in the show notes, and also Facebook if you're an old schooler as well. All those details will be in the show notes. Special thanks to Anwar Amr for the theme music. And for show, the show mixer. Thanks, JD, for joining today.
Thank you.
And Sanjay as well.
Thanks for having me as always. Mahalo.
Go Tigers!